Well, hello and welcome. It's good to have you with us today. We are worshipping in very different ways to that which we normally do when we meet together. But I trust that we will still have that sense of God's presence with us, joining us together as we listen together and worship and pray together. It's hard to put into words, isn't it, to sum up all that has happened in this last week, and particularly the pace at which things have evolved. And so I thought at the start of our time together, it might be helpful for us to have an image in our minds, an image of a rock. Now, it may be that some of us have been to Brimham Rocks and we can picture a particular rock there, or somewhere else, maybe when we've been on holiday. For me, it's some friends who had a significant, massive rock in their back garden. Or maybe along a coast somewhere, you can think of a strong and powerful rock. And so I want us to have that picture in our mind's eye as we begin worship. Because throughout Scripture, and particularly in the book of Psalms, God is frequently referred to as a rock. It's imagery which speaks of God's strength. A large rock is solid and strong. The image refers to God's reliability, especially in times of fast-paced change. And Scripture calls us to build our lives on a stable rock of God's love, His wisdom and salvation. As we think of this image, we get a sense of refuge, a place of security and protection. Psalm 18 begins, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And the psalm continues in verse 46 to declare, "The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock." And so as we come to worship with that image in our minds, if we're using the suggested first song, it reminds us that we stand on God our rock in these times of change, that we as God's people can be strong in purpose and unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honour and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And so if you are following the suggested order of service, it would be good if you could listen to the song "Salvation Belongs to Our God" and worship with those words. And as we continue, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the truth of those words, that even in uncertain days in which we live, we can still declare your glory and your wisdom and your honour. That we can still bring you our thanks for your power and strength, that you will be our God forever and ever. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength and confidence in who you are and all that you've done. That you will give us the faith to build on you in these times, the Lord of love, the Lord of life, and the Lord of heaven, in whose name we pray, Jesus. Amen. And again, if we're following the order of service, it'd be good if you could stop and use "Crown Him with Many Crowns," a hymn, to continue our worship. And if you want to join in our family talk, I just want to remind you, if you haven't already remembered, that today is Mother's Day, and so we give a special hello to all of the ladies and women who are connecting with us. Well, this is often called a children's talk, but everybody can join in, because I want you to pause the recording in a moment to find a piece of paper and a pen and write at the top of the page "cold," C-O-L-D. And then I want you to change one letter at a time to create a new word at the bottom of the page. So in five words, including the word "cold," I want you to try and get to a place of the word "warm." So five words in total, including "cold" and "warm," by just changing one letter from the word "cold" to get to the word "warm." Have a go and see how you get on. And in a minute, if you want to come back, I'll give you some clues if you haven't quite got there. Well, the first word was "cold," And if you change one letter of that, you get another word, which is a word for a thin string or some sort of rope, which is made from several twisted strands. I'm trying not to say the word itself. So another word for string or a rope made from several twisted strands. If you take that word and change one letter, you might get something that you've given to your mum or made today for Mother's Day, or something that you get on your birthday. Take that letter and take that word and change one letter, and you get a word that describes a room in a hospital. And then if you change one last letter of that word, you should get the word warm. So if you've kind of got all the clues, or maybe did it by yourself, cold should become cord, just changing the L to an R, which then becomes card by changing the O to an A, which becomes ward if you replace the C with a W, which becomes warm if you replace the D with an M. It's very easy, isn't it, when you know the answers. But just changing one letter in a word completely changes the word. One letter is a very small thing, but it can make a big difference. And today I just want to help us to remember that as mums and as grandmums, as each lady and indeed each person who's listening, even if you're very young, can make a big difference where you are, with the people around you and the situation we all find ourselves in. If you look through the Bible, that's what we see, that God was able to take ordinary, everyday people and help them to make a difference, a big difference for the world and for his kingdom. How we act or react to situations, whether we choose to be smiling or grumpy, whether we use our words to be kind and encouraging or mean and discouraging. And so as we think about the value of each person before God and the difference that we can make, just want to stop and say thank you to God for our mums and grandmums. For each of us just to think of one person who has made a difference in our lives, and to thank God for them now. And to ask God to help us to remember that wherever we are, even when we're at home, even self-isolating, we can make a big difference in the way that we are. And so we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we do usually is to remember birthdays. I did say that I might sing the birthday song, but I've bottled out of it now that I don't have musical accompaniment. But if it is your birthday this week, please let us know through WhatsApp or email or some other way, and we'll get out to the fellowship and have a great birthday if it's your birthday this week. But moving on to that, hopefully you will have all received a letter which we've sent out as a leadership team. If you haven't got that, then just either email me or David Abel and we can add you to the list. But if you've read that, you'll know that we've got lots of way with connecting with each other at the moment. And we're going to be sending out regular email blogs, trying to connect with each other midweek virtually online for some Bible study and prayer. We've got a WhatsApp group going for Harrogate Baptist Church, which helps us to keep up to date with what's going on in the fellowship and to pray for each other. And we've also put a buddy system in place, so just so that we can check in with each other once or twice a week and just let everybody know that we're not forgotten. Just one other thing to highlight is that at 7 o'clock tonight, we're invited to join with Christians throughout the country on a Skype broadcast to pray for our world and for our country. And as a visible expression of our prayers, to place a lighted candle in our windows as we pray that the light of Christ would be experienced across the UK and around the world at this time. And I'm hoping that there will be a link on the order of service if you want to link in at 7 o'clock with that Skype. But we're going to do our own prayers now for the ongoing needs of our country and of our world. And at the end of each section, I'm going to say, in your mercy, and if you're able, to ask that you'd respond to hear our prayer. And so we pray to you, God, our rock and the God of compassion, who holds us in this time of uncertainty. Lord, in one way or another, we're all affected by coronavirus. And so we pray for each person and our individual needs and those needs around us. We pray that you will be close to those who are ill, those who are particularly afraid or isolated. We think about people who we know who we need us to pray for them today, and in a moment of silence we lift them to you now. We pray for those who are lonely, that you will bring your presence to them. For those who are anxious, that you will fill them with your hope. For those who are in a dark place, we pray that you would shine your light into their lives. And for those who are gravely ill, and maybe even dying, and for their families, that they will know your peace and your comfort at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we continue to pray for those who guide our nations and the nations of the world, for those who are shaping national policies and making difficult decisions. We pray that you would give them wisdom. We thank you for the many emergency workers, people like doctors and nurses, paramedics, and others who are keeping essential services going at a difficult time. We pray that you would protect them and give them the skill and insight so that many will be restored to health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Jesus, you taught us to love our neighbour and to care for those who are in need as if we were caring for you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, that in whatever way we can, that we will do that, knowing that, as we remember just now, that little things can make a big difference to people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And so we pray, Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. Christ as a shadow, overshadow me. Christ under me, Christ over me. Christ beside me, on my left and on my right. Amen. We're going to have our Bible reading now, so if you've got your Bible, you might want to read it as well at the same time. I'm going to read it now. It comes from Numbers 13, and we're going to be reading from verse 17 onwards. We're going to be carrying on the story that we've been looking at over the last few weeks, and it seems an appropriate story of the story of the Israelites, thinking about as God brought them out of Egypt. And where we find ourselves today in Numbers, it's been almost 2 years since the Israelites left Egypt, and we find them near to the promised land. And the Lord tells Moses to send some men into the land of Cana, the promised land, to explore the land and bring a report back. And so Moses has chosen 12 leaders of Israel, one from each tribe, and he sent them with these specific instructions, which we pick up in verse 17. You might note that that means that I've missed out all the difficult names in the few verses above. Numbers 13, starting at verse 17. When Moses sent them to explore Cana, he said to them, "Go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? And how is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes." So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Libom Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shema, and Talmai were descendants of Anak lived. Hebron had been burnt 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days they returned from exploring the land and gave their reports of the exploration. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said this, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So before we come to God's word, I encourage you, if you're using the order of service, to use one of the two songs and hymn suggested on the order of service, or another of your choice, as we come to remind ourselves to still our souls as we come to God's word. And then we'll go on to look at God's word through this sermon.